ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Menachos is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Chiel Michel ben Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Karfunkel.
Masechta Menachos, Daf Nun Tes. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Daf speaks of various kinds of korban minchos, some of which require shemen and levoina, others require shemen and not levoina, others require levoina and not shemen. And among the Mishnah, the Menachos, which require both shemen and levoina, the Mishnah lists quite a few. There's Minchas Koyanim, a mincha brought by a Koyan, Minchas Koyan Mashiach, which is the Chavitim brought for the Koyan Gadol every day in the base of Mikdash. Minchas Avik Chovim, a mincha brought by a Goy, Minchas Noshim, a mincha brought by a Isha, by a woman. So various kinds of different minchos, and all of which require both Shemin and Levoina. The Karen Oyer writes over here that not all of these minchos are actually a Chiddush, that they require both Shemin and Levoina. Some of them are really obvious, Zokter. For example, Michas Noshim, Zokter, Micha Brutbe and Isha, Mech Teisil Chalak. Why would anybody even think that there's a difference that the Korban Mincha brought by an Isha would require no Shemin or no Levoina? There's no reason to distinguish between that which brought by a woman and by a man, and the Mishnah just puts it in anyway. The same is true, Zokter, with regard to the Mincha Sovik Chavim, the Mincha brought by a Goy, which over there, Zokter, the truth is there actually is a Chiddush that a Goy could bring a Mincha at all. And Be'emes Zokter, that part is Taka Chiddush, and the Gemara in Daf Ayin Gimel of the Beis, Zokter, is Meduyik that there is a Machloikas between Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Yisi Aglili about this, and Rebbe Kiva is of the opinion that a goy cannot even bring a mincha. A goy can bring an oil and that's it, and not a mincha. A goy cannot bring a mincha according to Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Yisrael Glili holds that a goy can bring various types of noidin adovim and adovois, various types of donative karbonois, according to the opinion of Rebbe Yisrael Glili, can bring a shlomim, etc. Rebbe Yisrael Glili also holds that a goy can bring a mincha, and Zokt the Kered Oire, the Gemara over there actually comes out that the Mishnah over there, which speaks of a Goy that he could bring a Mincha, and the Shirayim is Necholim, like any Mincha. So the Gemara says that goes like a B'Yisrael Glili and not like a B'Kiva. So Zokt the Kered Oire, that part of our Mishnah is in fact a Chiddush, the etzem fact that a Goy could bring a Mincha, but that's not the point of this Mishnah. The point of this Mishnah is not that a Goy could bring the Mincha, but rather that his Mincha requires both Shemen and Levoina, and that, Zokt there, once again a name on that a Goy could bring a Mincha, which is Nisrabami Ish-ish, the Pasuk speaks of a double lotion of Ish-ish, and Chazal Amar Begoyim, and once you have it, there's no reason to think that maybe he can bring it, but can't bring Shemir Levoina. So that part of the Mishnah is not a Chiddush either. So then, understand, these things are mentioned, even though they're Poshut, they mentioned Agav, the case of Mechaz Koyanim, which that the Gemara goes through a specific and explicit discussion here in the Sugyas HaGemara, that perhaps the Mechaz Koyanim would not require Shemir Levoina. The Gemara has Havimit to Emayit from the word Aleho, and therefore, that part is needed. The Mechaz Koyen needs Shemen Levoin, and Agav that it mentions other Menachos which are not needed, and not a Chiddush like Mechaz Noshim and David Chovim, even though those are obvious that they require both Shemen and Levoina. Rabbi Michael Feinstein points out over here in the Shiurim that Be'emes Lefize is somewhat Sorachian, that there's a Stam Mishnah over here which is not Lahalocha. The Stam Mishnah here is presumably going like Rabbi Yisi Aglili, who holds that a Goy could bring the Korban Mincha. And the Rambam is Paskin Lahalocha like Rabbi Kiva in the Sugya on the Fayin Gimel. The Rambam Paskin like Rabbi Kiva, and the Rambam Taka explicitly Paskins that a Goy is not able to bring a Korban Mincha. It's somewhat schwer, but that's what's clearly going to emerge, the Rabbi Michael Feinstein, according to this Keren Oire, according to the Pashas HaSugya. Rabbi Michael Feinstein writes, however, that the Mashmois of Rashi, later on the Fayin Gimel, that he did not learn the Sugya this way. He did not learn the way the Rambam learns, and he didn't learn that the Bakiva disallows a Goy from bringing a Korban Mincha entirely. Rather, the Rashi over there is Meduyuk, that the Goy would be able to bring a Mincha. The Goy, Rashi Sabemitz, could even be Makdash HaShlomim. The only thing is, according to Bekiva, the only thing is, and Rashi explains the Sugi over there, that a Bekiva is going to hold that if a Goy does Makdash HaShlomim, then it's brought, but it's Kolul Hashem. There's no halacha that part of it is Nechal, to the Koyanim, to the Bailam, but rather that it's Kolul Hashem. And Rashi immediately afterwards speaks of the Korban Mincha, according to Bekiva, it's Mashmeh and Rashi, in the Hemshech HaLoshen of Rashi, there, the Rashi is going to hold that when the Sugya makes a nafkemina between the Bekiva and the Yisrael Glili with regard to Korban Mincha, a Goy bringing it, that the nafkemina is not whether he can bring it, but regarding whether it's Sharia Necholim. The normal Korban Mincha, of course, he claims it's the Mincha and the Shirayim is eaten, and that Reish Gilui will hold that a goy has the same din. Rabbi Akiva will disagree with that. He'll hold that a carbon mincha of a goy is called Lashem and would be comparable, in other words, to a michas koyim, which has the same quality, which instead of being koyimitz the mincha and the shirayim getting eaten, we would say that the entire mincha is offered completely Lashem. Zokt the Ramichal Feinstein, that if you learn that way, it's going to come out a little better, actually, that our Mishnah is not a stam Mishnah, which is Shalek HaLocha, because our Mishnah doesn't get into whether the Shiraim is Necholim. Our Mishnah is not discussing that, it just discusses the fact that a guy is bringing the Mincha, it discusses the fact that he brings Shemen Levayna at the Mincha, it doesn't discuss whether it's Shemen Necholim. So according to the way Rashi understands it, the way it's Maduyik in Rashi, our Mishnah could be Rekiva, could be LaHalocha, and Rabbi Akiva will simply hold that the goy brings a mincha, it's Hashem and Levayna, like the Mishnah says, that it happens to be that it's kolel Hashem, it's completely offered on the fire that's bech, and it's not shoreha necholim. And we could add that if you learn like that, we could suggest that Fakirat, maybe our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, and then contrary to the Keri Noiru, who says that there is no chiddush in the case of Michas of Rechavim, that requires Shem and Levayna, we could suggest that there actually is a chiddush. Because, according to Rabbi Akiva, whereas while a goy could bring a korban mincha, the prati dinim are not identical to the prati dinim of the korban mincha of Yisrael. The goy brings the mincha, but the halacha that we go like Rabbi Akiva, and say the samish of Rabbi Akiva, we would say that it has a different din than the ordinary mincha. You don't koimitz the mincha and eat the shirayim, but rather that we would bring the entire mincha up on the fire that is bech. Since the prati dinim of the minchas koy are different, one could have thought that maybe other prati dinim are different, that maybe there's no shemer levayna. Even you wouldn't be able to learn necessarily from minchas Yisroel that the shemer levayna. So that's the kamashon of the Mishnah, that even though certain prati dinim, certain details of the din are different by a minchas koy, we would still not differentiate with regard to Shemir Levayna, and the Goy of Mincha would have Shemir Levayna. So that's how he gets around this problem of the Keren Oira, Aliba de Rashi, the way Rashi is Mashma, in the Sugya Anayin Gimel. Now Mr. Michal Feinstein writes that the truth is that Rashi's derech is Tzorach Bir, it needs an understanding, because it's true that the idea that a Korban Mincha could be sometimes called Hashem is something which we find, because we find it in Mechas Kohen. And Mechas Kohen, instead of being Kohen, it's the Mincha, and in the Shiraim, we offer the title Hashem. So we're not just inventing this notion out of thin air that a Mechas Goy is called Hashem, because we find it by a Mechas Kohen. So there, but the truth is, Bepshutoi, that's not a very good source, the fact that there's a Minchas Kohen, which is called Hashem, is not Nekmetzes, because a Mechas Kohen, L'chayra, is an under-resourced Shem Mincha. It's a different category. There's a category of Minchas Yisroel, which is Nekmetzes. A category of Minchas Kohen is an under-resourced Mincha, like a whole different Mincha altogether. It's a Minchas Kohen. And that category of Mincha is called Hashem. So the Goy obviously doesn't have that category. He's not offering a Minchas Kohen for Shteitzach. He's not a Kohen. So he only has the ordinary category of Mincha. So it's still Shver. Where am I going to get this notion that a Mechas Kohen is able to have this quality that it's called to the Eivishter? Dr. It's not doime to the dimin that Rashi makes over there, which is the fact that a goy can make the shlomim, the way Rashi's understanding of Akiva, and the shlomim is going to be offered up Kolul Hashem, because there is Zokta, the goy is Makdash Shlomim, and since, like the Gemara says over there, there's a svar in the Gemara over there that a goy is Liber Lashamayim, the Rashi explains over there that a goy is thinking in terms of his animal getting offered up Kolul Hashem. So the goy's thoughts are taka that he's Liber Lashamayim, it should be completely offered, but the fact is over there, there really is Zokta, a musik of a carbon behemoth which is Kolul Hashem, so it can get a Kedushas Oila. Once it gets a Kedushas Oila, it's completely offered up to Hashem in the manner of an Oila. Either goy was Makdash as a Shlomim, but he's thinking Liber Lashamayim, and according to the Kiva Shita, what happens is that he gets a din oila, the way Rashi explains over there. But the carbon mincha, the chayre were unable to apply this sort of lomdas to, because the carbon mincha, what's it going to turn into a michas kayin? The chayre, michas kayin is an under mincha. The guy doesn't have the ability to make a michas kayin. It's a completely different mincha. So how could it be the way Rashi is meduyik, that according to Bekiva, the goy offers the mincha, and taka is chal, that it's offered as a mincha, but it's offered kol. So this is where Rabbi Michal Feinstein goes into a bit of a beer to discuss whether Michas Kohen is in fact a different category of a mincha. And under the sug korban, there's a korban mincha brought by a non-kohen, by a zor, and korban mincha brought by a kohen. And tvei bazundere, two different categories of menachos, that's one way to learn. Or zakta, you really can learn differently. It's really all one mincha, but the Torah gave different protein depending on the identity of the Bailam. There's one holistic category called Karban Mincha, Then Torah says, in terms of what the protein of the details of the din are going to be, let's look at the bialim, because that's going to the koveya, that's going to determine what the details. If it's a head, bialim happens to be a swoil, a non-koin, so then it's nikmetzes and shere necholim, eat the shirayim. If the bialim happens to be a koin, then the same mincha is going to have different dinim, and it won't be nikmetzes, it'll be kol. Michael Feinstein claims that there are certain rayas, he brings smuchim lekach to the second side of the chakira, that it's really all one holistic category of mincha, just the identity of the bialim is going to differentiate in terms of the details of the dinim, whether it be a kmitza. And so that once you learn this way, you can already understand that a goy is different according to Rav Akiva, the way according to Rashi, Rav Akiva, and the goy, when he's makdish, he's libel shamayim, and the Gemara gets into over there, and consequently, therefore, he has different details in his korban mincha. He's machdish the korban mincha. It becomes kodesh kedushas mincha. His details are not that of the Yisroel non-koyen, which is nikmetzes, but he doesn't have the din of nikmetzes, and in Meila, his mincha has the other din, a set of details, which we do find in mechas koyen, which is that it's kolil Hashem. I just want to mention briefly that there is a posuk in Sefer Yeshaya, which certainly appears to be saying that a goy could bring a korban mincha. I didn't see anybody, I didn't find anybody make this ha'ora, but I just want to mention the pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Yutes, pasuk Chafal, if it talks about Mitzrayim, lo'osad lovoy, it speaks of Mitzrayim coming close to recognize Hashem, and the Loshana pasuk, v'noida Hashem l'Mitzrayim, that the Ibishter is known to Mitzrayim, v'yodu Mitzrayim as Hashem, the Mitzrayim will know Hashem, v'yemahu, on that day, v'ovdu zevach u'mincha, and they'll offer zevach u'mincha, v'nodru nedal Hashem v'shileimu. That's the Loshon HaPosik over there in Yeshayah. We know that Nedel Hashem v'shileimu and Delgado Ovdu Zevach U'mincha. So Kipshuto, it seems to be saying clearly that Mitzrayim also lover will know Hashem and that they'll bring a Zevach U'mincha. And now the fact that happens to be Lo'osad Lovoy offhand, it should not really make a chiluk. I don't get into the whole thing that's negeh, but Kipshuto, Chazal Ne'mon, a different Mekoimois, that the Kabonis after the Mois HaMashiach are going to have the same dinim and the same proti dinim as the Kabonis of today. And when it looks different, Chazal really darshin them. We don't see that Chazal just some assume that Lo'osad Lovoy, the dinim of the Andisht. And Me'ela, this pasuk, which speaks of Mitzrayim, and it says they're going to offer a zevach u'mincha, kepshutoi would seem to be mashma that the goy could offer a mincha. I don't want to get into the arichos, but I didn't find any more this question, and the question is something that certainly seems to be roy to be done on. The Mishnah mentions that the lechem haponim is ta'on levoino ve'ein ta'on shemen. The lechem haponim, as you know, is on the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, and on Shabbos they take off the siluk lechem haponim, remove the lechem haponim, they offer the bazichei levoino, so that's actually the chelak that's offered on the mezbeach, is the bazichim of the levoino, which is offered on the fire of the mezbeach, and then the kohenim eat the lechem haponim. So the Mishnah is saying the lechem haponim is an example of a mincha that requires levoino, but there's no shemen in the lechem haponim. The Yontif over here in the Mishnah makes a fundamental point. The Yontif says that it's clear that the Mishnah is assuming implicitly the lechem haponim is a kind of a korban mincha, right? That's the different categories of menachos in this Mishnah, and one of the categories apparently is lechem haponim, which needs levoina and not shemen. Zokter that lechayra, we don't find anywhere zokter le'ashkechon de ikri mincha behedya b'shem kosov. We don't find anywhere in any pasuk that lechem haponim is called a mincha. So we need to ask a very fundamental question over here: is the lechem haponim a korban mincha? Meila, if it is a korban mincha, it's a category of mincha. Then it, obviously the Mishnah is right for listing it, and it's a chiddush, it's a type of category that's special, needs levoina but not shemen. But maybe lechem haponim is something else entirely, it's not even a mincha. Where do you find altogether in any pasuk lechem haponim is referred to as a mincha? Now there are, of course, you know, various types of kavanas that are called a mincha, and actually find the mashal, the Gemara earlier on Memvov speaks, the Gemara of the Feirish over there, that you find regarding the Ishte Alechem that speaks about it, the pasuk calls it a mincha chadosh, and the Gemara makes reference to this explicitly, like we'll talk about it a little bit, and the pasuk itself calls Ishte Alechem, say lechem, I might have thought another mincha, you know. They're eaten by the kohenim after you offer the kivsei atzeres. But the Gemara says over there that the shtei lechem are called a mincha l'Hashem. Okay, zok the Tosis Yontif, but you don't find that by lechem aponim l'chayr. Where do you ever find bechlal in any posik that the lechem aponim is called a mincha? So he says an interesting thing, that the posik in Parashas Emor, it speaks about the lechem aponim over there. It doesn't explicitly mention that it's a mincha, but there is a Rashi at the end of the parsha there of the lechem aponim upon him, the pasuk says, "V'hoi sala Aaron levanov va'achaluhu b'makom kadosh." So it says that the lech upon him is a hoi sala Aaron levanov, and they eat it in makom kadosh. So Rashi over there, I just want to explain that Rashi over there is being down on something which the Mefarshim get into, which is that the pasuk switches from the cave of the Zohar. V'hoi sala Aaron levanov, it makes reference lech upon him. It calls it a hoi sala losh in the cave, and then later on it says va'achaluhu b'makom kadosh. So there is an issue over there in terms of understanding the Losh in the Cave used at the beginning of the Pasuk. And Rashi over there is really going on that question. Rashi says over there, V'hoisa, Rashi says, Hamincha hazois, She'akol davar, Habo, min hatavua b'chlal minchihi. So Rashi, in other words, I'm just explaining that Rashi is addressing the question of why it says Losh in the Cave of V'hoisa, because if it would be going on Lechem, for example, that would be Losh in Zohar. So Rashi says that it's actually a reference to an implied word, which is not explicit in the Chumash. The implied word is Mincha. Mincha is Nekeva. So V'hoi saw HaMincha HaZois. And the Rashi there elaborates, where did it come from that the Lecha upon him is called a Mincha? So Rashi elaborates on that, She'kol dover she'bov na tevua b'chlal mincha hi. Anything which comes from tevua is included in the category of Mincha. So although we never explicitly called the Lecha upon him a Mincha, Rashi is saying that the Pasuk is alluding to it as a Mincha, which is why it says V'hoi saw Lashon Nekeva. Now the Tais Yonta brings down the Rashi, and he brings down the Ramban over there, argues on the Rashi. The Ramban's opinion over there is that the word V'hoi saw Zokta Yitochein ki V'hoi saw al kol achas min ha'ma'aroch. In other words, the Pasuk earlier speaks about the Ma'areches, which is the columns of the Lechem upon him, and the Pasuk uses that expression, Al-Ha-Ma'areches, Ma'areches Al-Losh in the Cave, and the Ramban sheet is that the V'hoi Salar and Labonim goes on each of the Ma'areches, each of the columns of the Lechem upon him. The Ramban, according to the Ramban, we never find any reference anywhere that the carbon we don't find any reference anywhere that the Lech HaPanim is called a Mincha. According to Rashi, actually is alluded to in the Lashon of Ahoysa, which is Ahoysa Mincha Azoy. So the Tais Yontif says, and actually, this Mishnah would seem to support Rashi against the Ramban. That's what he says. Because this Mishnah is assuming implicitly that the Lech HaPanim is a carbon Mincha, the category of Mincha. According to Rashi, we find this somewhere in Tanakh, and it's going to be Madna, it's strange, according to the Ramban, that it's not found anywhere in Tanakh that it should be called a Mincha. So where would that actually come from? Chazal will assume here that it is a Mincha. Now we find a number of Achronim over here, the Rashash and others, the Keren Ayra, that they write that although the Taisa Yontif seems to think that this is the one place where Lech HaPanim is alluded to as a Mincha in Chazal and the Mishnayos, we actually do find other places in the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Gemara assumed implicitly that Lech HaPanim is a category of a Mincha. The Rashash over here brings down really an explicit Mishnah, Masechta Shkalim, which the Gemara earlier made reference to on Memvav. The Gemara says over there that the Mishnah says in Masechta Shkalim, there's a dion over there, Shiloh, where the Kohen is supposed to give a Machzor Shekel or not. A Kohen included in the din to give Machzor Shekel. Machzor Shekel, of course, was used for the purpose of purchasing all the Korbanos Tzibur, and there was a Machloikis, does a Kohen give Machzor Shekel? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that absolutely a Kohen does have to give a Machzor Shekel, but why were they not in the habit of doing so? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says they came in the habit of darshaning a particular mikra, a particular posik, for their own benefit. Because the pasuk says, "Chol minchas kain kol tia lo yisei ochel." Every minchas kain is kol tia has to be offered completely in the fire and doesn't get eaten. And the kainim were tining that hoyel va'omer shtei alechem lechem aponim shalonu heich necholim. If our monies, our master shekels, will go into the purchasing of oimer shtei alechem lechem aponim, how could they get eaten? Which these are all korbanos, which are korban minchas apparently, because we're going on the korban minchas kain kol tia, the lashon pasuk that a minchas kain is kol. If these are going to be minchas kain, because our money goes into the contributing the purchase of the oimer shtei alechem lechem aponim, and the kainim are tiny, wouldn't be able to be eaten because it's going to be minchas kain kol tia, and the pasuk says that they get eaten, or that the shirayim are eaten. So by the Omer, so the Mishnah explicitly references Dr. Rashash that the Kohenim were tining that the lechem upon it, it's one of the things they were tining on, was that if we would give the Masa Shekel, then it wouldn't be able to be eaten. So the Mishnah is explicitly accepting the notion that lechem upanim are a form of a carbon mincha. The Keren Ayra over here also speaks about various places that Chazal speak of the lechem upanim as being a mincha. He says, the Keren Ayra says that on daf nun zayin, the Gemara is marbed, you're not only mechametz the lechem upanim, if you make it fermented in oifen of chimutz, then you're over on the Pasuk, and the Gemara dashed on a kol mincha, etc. So kol mincha, the Gemara's marba, one of the things, but marba there is lecha upon him, from the lush of kol mincha, and so over there, that's certainly one place, ok, there, but we find that Chazal are referencing, understanding clearly, that lecha upon him is a kind of korban mincha. Now this is all true, I mean, these achronim are bringing down various Gemaras, but the main fundamental point of the Taisa Yontov over here wasn't primarily anyway, that this Mishnah will be the only place Lechem Panim is called a Karban Mincha, although he does seem to imply it. But his main point is that Chazal ought to have found it somewhere in the Tanakh, somewhere in the Chumash, that the Lechem Panim are referenced as a Mincha. So the truth is, I mean, even with these different rayas that the Achronim bring, the fundamental point of the Taisa Yontif still remains intact. Is it true? Is there somewhere in the Chumash that we find Lechem Panim are called a Mincha? If not, the Taisa Yontif feels that it's Tzorach Bir, where Chazal could have gotten the assumption from just as an assumption, and Lechem Panim are a Karban Mincha. On the other hand, the Lashon of Rashi over there in the Parsha in Emor does seem to assume that Rashi thought that you don't need a explicit source in each case of a flower offering in the Mikdash, that it is called a mincha, because Rashi says v'hoisa, like we said, ha-mincha azois, that the hoisa la'aron al-bona v'tzkolosh in the cave, it goes in the mincha. So Rashi says she'kol dovor ha-bomen ha-tevua b'chal minchi, anything that comes from tevua is included in the expression of mincha. So kipshutoi, there is a mashmois in that Rashi that you don't really need an explicit separate source in the lechem upon him, because Rashi seems to assume that anything that comes from tevua and is in the mikdash and is somehow connected with the korban is automatically has the shem of a korban mincha on it. So Rashi does serve as a kind of a source to question the assumption of Taisa Yontif that I have to find some special place in the Chumash or in Tanakh that the Lechem Panim, for example, is called a Mincha. However, the Svasemis over here, Svasemis writes that in the Sugya earlier on Daf Mem Vav and the Beis, there was actually a problem with this, because in the Sugya earlier Mem Vav, it's mashma that you really do need, as the Taisa Yontif understands, you need a special source within the Psukim, within the Tanakh, in each case of a flower offering, that it is Hashem Mincha. The Gemara over there differentiates between the lachmei toida, which is the lechems, the breads that are offered in connection with the korban toida, and the shtei halachem. And the Gemara says that the lachmei toida are not called a mincha. We don't find anywhere the lachmei toida, the breads that accompany the toida, are called a mincha. But the shtei halachem, we do find that they're called a mincha. And the Gemara looks for and finds a pasuk in the Chumash, like I mentioned before, that the pasuk says mincha chadosh al Hashem. That's the lechem upon him. The Gemara says that because the lechem upon him are called, I'm sorry, the Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem are called a Mincha Chadosh al Hashem. So because the Shtei Alechem are called a Mincha Chadosh, this is why we find that there was a dion that the Kohenim didn't want that their shekels should go into the purchasing of the Shtei Alechem, because then there would be a Minchas Kohen, and the Kohenim felt a way, according to their understanding, that it wouldn't be able to be eaten. So the Sfasemis says it does appear that there is a source in the Gemara Memvav for the implicit understanding assumption of the Taisa Yontif here, which is that I really need to find in each flower offering unto itself that the Pasuk references to it as a mincha. The Gemara says, Lachmei Toida is not called a mincha in the Pasuk, it's not a mincha. The Shtei Alechem is called a mincha in the Pasuk, it is a mincha. So that seems to support the contention of the Taisa Yontif, and if so, you will have the Taisa Yontif's problem that the Lecha Panim, we don't find any explicit source that the Lecha Panim is called a Mincha, unless I go with the Rashi's reading in Emor against the Ramban's. However, the Sfasemis wants to get around the problem, and the Sfasemis says like this. He says, any flower offering that's offered independently, that's not a chaylak of a korban behemo, connected with a chaylak of a korban behemo, if it's offered independently, then, zokter, it has etzem shem mincha on it. The Lecha Panim, the base of Mikdash, is not connected with any behemo. Granted, there is the Bezich Levoina, which are mati them, but a koponim, it's not sort of ancillary to a korban behemo, and therefore, Lecha Panim definitely have an independent Shem Mincha, even without any explicit source in the Tanakh for that. And like, just to add, that's based like the Lashon of Rashi and Chumash seems to go like that. Shekol Dovah Shebamana Tevua, Beklal Minchi, anything that comes from Tevua, it's automatically a Mincha. The Sfasemis says, the Suyu over there, which is done on the Shtei Alechem and on the Lachmei Toida, that's because both of those two things share a common quality, which is that they are really connected with a Korban Behemo, and could arguably have incorporated into the Shem of the Korban Behemo. For example, the Lachmei Toida are lechems that accompany the Toida. So there's Shem Toida on the entirety of the Korban, the Shem Toida on the Behemo, and incorporates the lechems that have come together with it, and they don't have, therefore, any Shem Mincha, because they're included in Nichlal in the Shem Toida. They're the Lachmei Toida, they're incorporated into the Shem Toida. Likewise, the Gemara, the Hava Solomon over there talked that the Shtei Alechem should have that also, because the Shtei Alechem were brought together with the Kivsei Atzeres on Shavuos. He offered the Kivsei Atzeres on the Beach, the Shtei Alechem got eaten. So I could have said the same thing, that they're incorporated in the Shem Kivsei Atzeres and don't have their own independent Shem and not an independent Mincha. That's why the Gemara over there looks at Pesukim and it says that by Lachmi Toyd, you don't have a Pasik that the Lechem is called a Mincha. By Shtei Alechem, we have a special Pasik that it is called a Mincha. It says that Mincha Chadosh Al Hashem. So over there, that's where Zokti Svasemes, we're going to be looking to find if we have Pesukim. Because over there, in those cases, we could have otherwise incorporated them into the Shem of the carbon behemoth that they brought together with, like Shtei Alechem, incorporated them into the Shem Kivsei Atzeres, etc. Mashein came by the Lechem upon him there, Zokter, we could say against what the Tefiyantav assumes, and we could say that as an Etzim Shem Mincha, even without a special source in the Tanakh, and therefore, even if you don't find any Pasik where the Lechem upon him is called a carbon mincha, we'd still name on like the Mishnah on that they do have a Shem of a carbon mincha. In the beginning of the Gemara brings a member of Papa. The Papa said, "Kol heicha de tenan, eser tenan." Any mincha that we have here, the tenan, the mincha is brought as 10 lechems, 10 loaves. The Rashi over here has a couple of drachim, but in the first derech, Rashi is mavur that any of the korban minchas that are mentioned in the Mishnah, all of them are brought as 10 loaves, and the lechem Mishnah over in the Maaseh Karbonos makes an important diuk from this Rashi, from the Gemara, from Rashi. He says that if you look at the Mishnah, you look at the menachos in the Mishnah, so we have various menachos, as minchas soiles, they have machvas, marcheshes, various types of korban minchas. So zalter azoy, the minchas machvas and marcheshes, the various korbanos other than the minchas soiles, are actually nefe into loaves, and there we have the din to be oif for them, to bake them into 10 loaves, and that's koidem, the kmitza, that's before we do the kmitza offering. So there's a din, and it makes perfect sense, given that those are divided, a certain number of lechems that they have to be brought as, and Rav Papa is saying they brought us 10 loaves. Masha'en came out of the minchas soiles, which is nikmetzes as soiles, as flour, without having been baked at all. So there, zokti, really need to be done, whether there is any din to bake them into 10 loaves. You know, but it doesn't have any din to bake them prior to the kmitza. So it's given to the Kayan and the Chayra, you know, the who says that the Kayan has to bake them with a particular number of loaves altogether. It's not part of the Seder Avodah. So Meila Zokti, the Lechem Mishnah, we need to be down in the Mincha Soilus if it too has a din to be brought as 10 lechems. But Rashi, since Rashi over here says that all the Menachos in this Mishnah all have a din to be brought as Eser Tanan, to be brought as Eser Lechems, 10 lechems, and one of the Menachos mentioned in our Mishnah is Mincha Soilus, so therefore it's Mavur that Rashi is saying that the Mincha Soilus is brought as 10 loaves as well. It must be made into 10 loaves. Zokti Lechem Mishnah, that what we have here is what seems to be a clear stira, contradiction between Rashi and the Gemara, and Rashi in Chumash, in his Perish Al HaTorah. So because Rashi in his Perish Al HaTorah says in Vayikra, Perik Beis Pasuk Dalet, the Rashi says over there, V'chisak of Korban Mincha, etc. So Rashi says, Shanina B'Menachos, that they mention later on, Daf Ayin Vav, that Kol HaMenachos HaAfuyos Lifnei K'mitzason. So Rashi's Loshin is, and Lechem Mishnah stresses, Rashi is paraphrasing, because although Rashi says, Shanina B'Menachos, it's a Mishnah, the fact is that the Mishnah does not have this Loshin. It seems to be Rashi that's adding in this expression, that Kol HaMenachos HaAfuyos all carbon minchas which are baked prior to the kmitza, which is betzem all carbon minchas except for the mincha soilus, zokti, Lechem Mishnah, which is nikmetzes as soilus, as flour. So Rashi says, kol menachos afuyos lifnei kmitzason, any mincha that's baked prior to the kmitza, v'nikmotzos ayidei p'tzisa, and you do the kmitza ayidei p'tzisa by first breaking the pieces first, and then you do the kmitza. So those kulon boys, eser chalois, they all brought us 10 chalois, etc., etc. So with there is Zokti Lechem Mishnah, it's clearly Mashman, Rashi, and Chumash, that it's true, and based on the Mishnah later on, that the Menachos, Korban Minchos, are brought as 10 loaves, Eser Chalois, but apparently that does not apply to the Mincha Soilus. Like Rashi clearly says over there, it applies to the Menachos, or Afuyos, Lifnei, Kmitzos, that are baked prior to the Kmitzos, which is not true about the Mincha Soilus. So there is two different Drachim and Rashi. Rashi is cited that over here, in Mesech the Menachos Nuntes, over here Rashi is Mavur, that it applies to all Minchas, instead of having 10 lechem, baking them into 10 lechems, even including the Mincha Soilus. Zokter, the truth is that the Mizrahi and his Peirush and Rashi in Vayikra Peirush Pasuk Dalet already is down on that Rashi, that the Mizrahi discusses the Diuk in the Rashi. The Rashi seems to be saying clearly that only Menachos HaAfuyos prior to the Kmitza, that baked prior to the Kmitza, need to be brought as 10 lechems, which does not apply L'Choyer to the Mincha Soilus. And the Mizrahi over there discusses the problem that Rashi is bringing down a Mishnah, a Loshen that is different from where we have the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say, Kol Menachos HaFuyos Lifnei K'mitzos, then there's a Kol Menachos, a bird of 10 lechems, a Menachos, a bird of 10 lechems. With the Mishnah, seems to say, Zok the Mizrahi, that includes all Minchas, even the Minchas Soilus. So he has a problem with the Loshen of Rashi, and the Mizrahi wants the Madchik of the Loshen, and to say that although Rashi says, Menachos HaFuyos Lifnei K'mitzos, Rashi did not mean to exclude the Minchas Soilus, and he gets into a Cheshman, a suggestion of why Rashi spoke of specifically the milchus that are baked provided to the kmitza. The Mizrahi learns Rashi's lavdafka, and even the milchus soilus, according to Rashi and Chumash, is going to be worth 10 loaves. Like the Mishnah says that this Mizrahi chat is a crew, it's ordinarily dochuk in the words of Rashi, and it doesn't seem to be like that. But Rashi rather is soilus himself, two different drachim of Rashi, and Rashi and Chumash is learning not like Rashi here, that the milchus soilus is not brought as 10 loaves. Like Mishnah says that the Rambam is mashma like Rashi over here, not like Rashi and Chumash. The Rambam seems to say Maisa Kavonis that all Menachos are 10 lechems. The Rambam doesn't differentiate. It's if it seems that Rashi, the Rambam held that Menachos Soilus also is brought as 10 loaves. This is the Lechem Mishnah. The Mishnah Melech, however, over there writes that he would say a different word. The Mishnah says that in his opinion there is no steer between the Rashis, and there's also no right that the Rambam either was going that Minchas Soilus has to be baked into 10 loaves. Why? Because the Mishnah Taina is that you have to first ask, before you address this possible steer in Rashi, you need to ask a very, very basic question about the Minchas Soilus. So is there any din that the Minchas Soilus Bechlal has to be baked at any point in time at all? For example, can I just take the flour, I bring it as flour, I'm coming to this flour, I offer the flour on the Mizbech, and I give the rest of the flour to the Kohen, does the Kohen have to bake it into a loaf? What if the Kohen wants to just eat it as flour? Is there some problem with that? Or he wants to eat it as some kind of a prepared dish that doesn't involve baking it into a lechem? Could he do that? Is there some din that it has to be converted into lechems, baked into lechems at any point? The Mishnah Tain is, they don't find this, that the Loira Isi B'Shum Mokoim, I don't find anywhere, I have not seen anywhere regarding the Minchas Soilus Sheniz Karaboy Afia Klal, that it's mentioned anywhere that it has to be baked into any kind of a loaf. Zok the Mishnah Melech, once you recognize that, you have to understand that neither the Rashi over here nor the Rambam are really a Raya, the Minchas Soilus has made it 10 to 10 loaves, but the simple reason that even though they don't exclude the Minchas Soilus in any special particular way, the fact is it's a given, Zok there, mitzad atzmo, it's intrinsically self-evident that those Menachos, which have some kind of din at some point to make them into loaves and to chalos, so I'll be down on how many chalos is there a minion, is there a number? I'm saying the number is 10. We learn it out from a source. The Gemara has a mocker for this thing. It's learned out of the Lachmei Toida, which are 10 loaves. The Mishnah Melech, that all works for those Menachos that have a din to bake them into a loaf. Mashenkin Mecha Soilus, which never has to be converted into a loaf at any point. So neither Rashi nor the Rambam really had to even get into the question that there's a Mecha Soilus of a particular number. It obviously has no number because it has no din. You want to bake it? Bake it. Don't bake it? Don't bake it. There's no mitzvah, no din to make it into lechems at all at any point. And Mele, therefore, there was no need for Rashi over here or the Rambam to even exclude it at all. Because it's a given, like Rashi says in the Chumash, those that have a din to bake. Mele, you know, so for those, they're the ones that have a din min, a din of 10 loaves. The others, it's obvious that there's no din mini because not even din to bake it in the first place. That's the Mishnah Melech resolution to the possible stira in the Rashi. However, the Brisker Rav, later on in the stencil on the Fayin Beis, takes sharp issue with this Mishnah Melech. Now, first of all, before bringing the Mishnah Melech, the Brisker Rav brings the Loshen of the Rashi Ksav Yad. You have later on the Masechta a few dafim that have Rashi from that's printed in our Gemara from Ksav Yad, from manuscripts. And the Rashi Ksav Yad, which presumably the Mishnah Melech didn't have, Rashi on Daf Ayin Vav, actually says clearly, by regarding the Minchas Soilus, Rashi says explicitly, very interesting Rashi there. Rashi says, Kol Menachos boys, Eser Eser Chalois, to Menachos come 10 Chalois. And Rashi Ksav Yad says from the manuscript, Minchas Soilus Nami, he's like there. Even the Minchas Soilus that brought in flour, Afagav the Koidim of Fios and the Kmetzes, even though the Kmetzes takes place before it's baked, Filu Hochi Eser Chalois Koavdilah, you still bring it as 10 Chalois, even though the baking doesn't take place till after the Kmetzes. So Mamish is a Furish explicit Rashi Ksav Yad, upon him against this Mishnah Melech. Rashi says black on white that there is a tzad, and that Rashi over there is going that Minchas Soilus does have a din at the brought of 10 chalos, and Rashi says it mamish black on white against what he says in the Chumash that even though it's nikmetzes prior to the afi, you don't bake it till later. Despite that, it's still burdas ten chalas. And the Mishnah Melech, the Briskirov says that this is clear. There's two different drachim and Rashi and different mekoymos, and that they don't stim. But as far as the Mishnah Melech's taina that lechayr is no din to be bake the mechasoilus into loaves at all. So what kind of din is that to bake it into 10 loaves when you don't even find there's a din to bake it into loaves? So that the Briskirov is matmiya on, and he says that tamua, that's an incredible thing, that's a sensitive thing altogether, that you certainly say, first of all, he says that the Pasuk in the Chumash, the Pasuk says, matzo is teyochel. In other words, the thing is that although the Pasuk never mentions that somehow it's part of the Seder avoidah of the mincha soilus that you have to make it into loaves, that's true. There's no din to do avoidah on lechem, that's true. But there is a din as far as how the kohen have to eat it. Regarding what seems to emerge clearly from the Mishnah Melech, that he's naming on the kohen could eat his flour if he wants, the Mishnah Melech says the kohen does not have to bake it into loaves, that's against the Pasuk in the Chumash, the Briskirov says. Matzah is teyochel. Matzah is teyochel means he has to make it into loaves, that it's eaten as matzah. Well, obviously we had that the kohen is not supposed to bake it into chometz, but upon him, the fact is that the kohen eats it as matzah. He has a din to make an achila, to eat the shirayim of the mincha in a particular manner as matzah. Moreover, the Briskirov says it's actually Gemara that references, it speaks of this in Masechta Yevamos Daf Mem. The Gemara over there explicitly gets into a Hava Amina. The Gemara said, maybe you'll suggest to me, in Yevamos Daf Mem, the Gemara says that it was for when the Kohen gets the Shirayim of the Mincha, Rotza Machsut Ob Matzo Oichlo, Rotza Cholot Oichlo. If he wants, he could eat it as matzo. If he wants, he could eat it as scalded flour. That was the Hava Amina of the Gemara. The Gemara said, what are you talking about? Hai Cholot Heichidami. What do you mean Cholot, scalded? If you're talking that he didn't even bake it into loaves and he just eat his stomach scalded flour, the Gemara says, if that's the case, then that's not matzah. And v'rachmona oma matzah. Matzah oma rachmona, the Gemara says over there. So he's not going to eat it as matzah. The Pasuk says that Kohen has to eat it as matzah. There's no way to suggest that he eat a scalded flour without making it to lechem instead of making it to matzah. So it's mamish black and white of the Gemara based on an explicit Pasuk in the Chumash. The Briskirov says it's a dover tamua what the Mishnah Melech is saying. And Mela, consequently, the Briskirov against the Mishnah Melech accepts perfectly well with equanimity that Rashi in different Mekoymos says different things about the same Mincha Soilus, which is not, as Rashi says in different places, it's Koidam Afiyoso Nikmetz. In other words, it's not that you don't have to bake it, but it's Nikmetz as prior to baking. You have to bake it at some point, the Kavanah, the Kohen will bake it when he gets it as Shirayim. But the Kavanah is a din to make it into lechems, and in Meila, Rashi in different Mekoymos discusses, does it have to make it into 10 lechems? Rashi Ksav Yad, and presumably that's the pastor of Rashi over here, like Lechem Mishnah says, that they are learning that you do have to bake it into 10 loaves, even though the Seder Avoid or the Kmitza is done in it prior to having been baked. But when you do bake it, you make it into 10 loaves. Rashi and Chumash is saying, not like that. Since there's no din to do the avoid on chalois, on loaves, like the Rashi says, that the kmitzah is done before the afir, so therefore when you do bake into loaves, there's no special mitzvah on it according to Rashi and Chumash, and there's no din to make it necessarily into the 10 loaves. The Gemara later in the Omud speaks about the korban ha'oimer, mechas ha'oimer, which is brought on Pesach, it's mechas ha'oimer, brought from the Tevuah Chadasha. And the Gemara speaks of various qualities, various dinim that the Korban Omer has, and contrasts it and compares it to various other Korbanos. So one of the things the Gemara says is that the Omer has a din of pigol, which is that the Kohen who is doing the Avodah on it could make it into pigol. For example, we have in mind that the Omer will be eaten by the Kohenim on the wrong day, so it's Chutzas Manoi, and the Kohen can make it into pigol. So that's one of the qualities that Omer has. Taisa says over there, on the bottom of the Omud, that this assumption, that what the Gemara says over here, Bepshitus, that the Mechas Omer is subject to the din pigol, is Ein Ze Kerova, that says in Perakama on Daf Hey, the Ein Machshava Poisel El Avamisha Roy La Voida. So Taisus quotes a member of Rova earlier on Daf Hey, but the Gemara over there says, Fakarit, from what it says over here. What does it say over there? Rova says that Machshava doesn't, on the carbon, does not have an impact unless it is a carbon that is so-called roi la voida, fit for doing a voida, la funke minchas oimer. That's what Rava says over there, that as we'll see in a moment, that the minchas oimer is called not roi la voida, which kipshuta, it doesn't really make sense. Obviously, you do a voida, the minchas oimer. We'll talk about that in a moment, what the Rishonim say. But Kaponim, Rava says there that the minchas oimer is not roi la voida. Consequently, there's no din that machshava could have an impact on it. And even though, says Toysis, that Gemara happens to be talking about machshava shalei l'shmoi, not machshava pigol, you're having mind shalei l'shmoi, that you wouldn't be yoytzeh the carbon, and the Gemara says over there explicitly that Rava said that Mechas Ha'omer, even if the Kohen has Machshavah Shalei L'Shmoi, you are yoytzeh the Mechas Ha'omer, there's no din to bring another Mechas Ha'omer. So Rava is talking about Machshavah Shalei L'Shmoi. However, Tosfos says that we do not differentiate between Machshavah Pigol and Machshavah Shalei L'Shmoi in this regard, and Tosfos says that there's a riot to that in the Sugya and Zvachim, and the Kopanim that Rava is going to hold, the way Tosfos says, that the Korban Omer, since it doesn't have the so-called royal avoida quality to it, so therefore no machshava could have an impact, and pigle won't have an impact either, machshavas pigle, and Rav will be against our Gemara that assumes, as the Tosafot says, assumes that the Michas HaOmer is subject to the din of pigle. Now, there is a machloikas Rashi and Tosafot in the Suga in Daf Hei, where they were in Rava, and they argue about what exactly it means when it says that the Minchas HaOmer is be'etzem not roi la'avoida, and therefore, according to Rava, Machsheves Koyen can't have an impact on it. What does it mean, not roi la'avoida? And the Ursa Meach writes that if you misboin it carefully, this machlokes Rashi and Tosafot over there, we could see that that Rashi Tosafot dispute there will have an impact on whether Tosafot over here is correct. So Rashi over there says on Daf Hei that why is it that the Minchas HaOmer is called that it's intrinsically not royal avoida? So Rashi says the reason is because it's brought from Soirim, it's brought from Bali. Korban Mincha is always brought from Chitim, from flour of Chitim, from Chitim. You never have that the Minchas HaOmer is brought from, that a Mincha is brought from barley, except Rashi points out the two exceptions to that that are brought from Soirim, and that is the Minchas HaOmer and the Minchas Soita. Those are the two. Minchas Soita is brought from Soirim as well. Rashi says over there that be'etzem, since geveintlich, all minachos are never brought from Soirim, except for these very limited exceptions. So therefore, if you do bring a korban from Soirim, like Minchas Omer is from Soirim, that's called Einaroy La'avoida, which Rashi translates, what do you mean it's Einaroy La'avoida? So Rashi says that Einaruya El La'avoida Zubavad Lahatir Veloy Mishum Korban Asya. So Rashi says, in other words, I'm not bringing the Minchas Omer for the sake of bringing a korban, Mishum Korban, but rather for the sole function of being Matir. You know, Minchas Omer is, of course, Matir, the Chodosh, to be eaten by Hedioitos, to be eaten, and the Minchas HaOmer is this quality of being brought lehatir as opposed to brought mishum korban, which geveintlich normal korbanos are brought to bring a korban to Hashem. Minchas HaOmer is not, it's not even fundamentally brought from a material that could be royal avoid, because soirim is not royal avoid, the barley, but it's just brought for the sole purpose of lehatir. I Rashi says if that's the case, it should also come out that Minchas Soita shouldn't be subject to machshava either, and the Sheminodim machshava shalel shmo, etc. Minchas Soita, which is also brought from soirim. So Rashi gets around that. Rashi gets into a whole discussion over there, and Rashi says the truth is over there that the Minchas Soita as well is also not brought, so to speak, mishum korban. It's lav avoidehi delavarer ovoin koasya. It's really for the purpose of determining whether she did the sin, whether she was nechshal in the znus. And it's also just levar oven kaasya. We do find that Minchas Soita machshava the kohen could impact on it, and there's explicit sugis and soita about that. And it's like that that's because rachmona kar yichatos, a special din of the Torah itself labels the Minchas Soita as a chatos. But otherwise, we don't by Minchas, I mean, you don't have a special label, and by default we assume that a mincha brought from soirim is, so to speak, not roi la'avoida, and that's why Rav is saying doesn't have the geveint l'chadinim, the machshava could impact on it. That's Rashi's shita. Tosafot over there argues in Rashi, and Tosafot feels that no, we do find it in Minchas Soita, and it's not something which is absolutely unique and impossible, this idea that a Mincha brought from Soirim. And therefore, Tosafot disagrees with Rashi, and he says the fact that it brought from Soirim doesn't make it not royal avoida. To Tosafot's opinion, the reason that the Mincha Soimer is not royal avoida is because you're bringing it from Chodosh, it's brought from Chodosh, from the new crop of Tevua, and it's brought at a time when there was no Matir prior to that to bringing Chodosh as a carbon, you know? The bad time, you can't bring any carbon from Chodosh at that point. The Minchas HaOmer itself is what's coming to Matir Chodosh. There's different details on that. It's Matir fundamentally the Yoytos. But Koponim, the Minchas HaOmer is brought at a time when fundamentally there was nothing prior to the Matir, the bringing of Chodosh. And therefore, Tosafot says that's what makes it intrinsically not the royal avoid. Zokt of them, the Oris HaMeach. So let's focus on Rashi's Shita over there in Menachas Daf Hei. Rashi says over there that the problem with the Minchas Omer, the reason why it's called not Roy La'avoida, is because it's being brought from Soirim. Zokt the Oris HaMeach, the Be'emes Zokt there, the Minchas HaOmer, there has really two matirs. There's really two things that are brought. The Minchas HaOmer has Levoina, that's brought at Ofer on the Mizbeach, and also has the Koimetz, that's brought on the Mizbeach as well. But according to Rashi, Zok, that the only problem is with the a flower, which is a sa'irim, levoina doesn't have any problem being not roy levoina. Levoina is like any levoina, and levoina is roy to go on the mizbeach as part of a component of a korban mincha. There's nothing that makes that not roy levoina. It's a sa'irim component that makes it not roy levoina. And Meila Zok there, really, you could have a machsheves pigol regarding the mincha sa'imer on the levoina component. And even though it's true, it's only part of a matir, you get mefapal over there in the sugi of mefaglam b'chatzi batir, which is a sugi in the Gemara, whether you could have pigol on a part of a matir, and the machshavam being when brought in part of the matir. But I mean, if you hold mefagel mefadim matir at any rate, zok there, then there's no problem with understanding our sugya and making it conform and stem with the sugya on the fei and rov, where it says that the minchas ha'omer is you not royal avoid, etc. That's talking about the sa'irim component. When you're offering the sa'irim, the bali, so then there's no mashavish lishmoy, mashavit can't impact, mashavit pigul can't impact, the way Taisa says. But mashavinkin is that when you offer the levoina component, you really could have a mashava impact, and therefore the Gemara over here stems perfectly well when it's saying that pigul could have. Could get it in pigol, and that would be b'shas when you're offering the levoina component. So the male, according to Rashi, sheet over there, you would not have the problem that the Toisa says over here. You would not have to say that our sugya does not stim with the sugya earlier of Rava on Daf Hei. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky in the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel writes that he believes that the Loshon HaRambam is meduyik. The Rambam brings down Rava's din lahalacha that on Minchas HaOmer one cannot passel it with a machsheves shelil shmo, one cannot weaken it with a machsheves shelil shmo. In other words, and it's yoytzev choyv of the Minchas HaOmer. And the Rambam brings this din down specifically ben egei at a machsheves shelil shmo. Chaskar Abramsky says that it's mashma to him that the Rambam understood that Rava's din is not negay at a machsheves pigol, and if a person would have a machsheves chutz l'zmanoi with time when he brought the menchas ha'omer, it would in fact become pigol. If we learn that way, said Rav Abramsky, then Tosfos is kasha here is a meila not shver, because Tosfos kasha is based on the assumption, like Tosfos says, that Rava's din is negay at a pigol as well, and in no way can the menchas ha'omer become impaired through a machshava, even through a machsheves pigol. So Tosfos says that Tosfos our Gemara that says that menchas ha'omer is subject to pigol. According to the Rambam differentiates between them, and according to the Rambam, Wavel will agree that the Menchas HaOmer is subject to Pigol. What's the difference between Machsheves Shelo Lishmo and Machsheves Pigol? So Rav Abramsky says that we find that Machsheves Shelo Lishmo weakens a korban. It's not Ol L'Bayel L'Shem Choyva, because it wasn't brought L'Shem the korban. It's a Machsheves Shelo Lishmo. So it's a weaker korban. That a korban like a Menchas HaOmer, which is a Chiddushu, like the Gemara says over there, it's Gveintlich, it wouldn't be called Royal Avoida, and still the Torah allows it, like we said, so that is a Chiddush and cannot become weakened through Machsheves Shelo Lishmo. However, Machsheves Pigol does not weaken a korban. The Gemara speaks in a number of places of the inyan of Miratze Lipiguloi, or Karatsoas Kosher Karatsoas Posa. In other words, what the Gemara tells us in a number of places is that one needs a full Seder of Avoidois Ksheirois with the Machsheves Shelo Chutz L'Zmanoi in order to generate a korban mefugol. So a korban mefugol has to come about by means of the entire seder avoidus. They have to be full-fledged avoidus. It's just reroute, so to speak, the korban by virtue of the machsheves chutz l'zmanoi. Instead of being a korban kosher, it becomes a korban mefugol. Since a machsheves pigol doesn't weaken the korban, it just changes or reroutes, so to speak, into a new kind of korban, a korban mefugol. So therefore, that's something that even Menchas HaOmer could be subject to, even though the Menchas HaOmer is a chiddush. However, Abramsky says that if Lamashal, one would learn like Rashi's pshat that we spoke of before, that Rashi says that what makes Menchas HaOmer special is the fact that it comes from Sa'irim, which normally cannot even generate a korban. A Menchas HaOmer doesn't come from Sa'irim. And Rashi says that, in fact, the Menchas HaOmer is not brought l'shem korban altogether, it's brought l'shem to be matir to tefuah chadasha, it's not l'shem korban, it's brought lahatir. If so, if one learns that way, says Rav Abramsky, then in fact Tosafot would be right in making the parallel between Machsheves Shelo Lishmo and Machsheves Pigol, because according to Rashi, the litmus test over here would be, is this korban able to serve as a matir? I can't change this korban to take it away from being able to serve as a matir by means of my machshava, because the korban is a chiddush and it's inexorably going to serve as a matir. If so, just like a machsheves shelo lishmo, according to Rava, can't take it away from being a matir, so to machsheves pigol can't take the korban away from being a matir either. And after all, we know that a korban oimer, if it would be mefugol, would certainly not serve to be matir the tevuah chadasha. Therefore, according to Rashi Shita, the litmus test is going to be whether the the machshava you have is going to take this korban away from being a matir, which that cannot happen through machshava. And if that is so, if that's what Rava is saying, then Tosis's idea would be correct, and Rava's din would be applicable both to Masheves Shalei Lishma and to Masheves Pigul, that neither can apply to the Minchas HaOmer. On Amud Beis, the Mishnah says that a minchas choyte, which we have the loisa say of lo yosim aleha shemen v'lo yitin aleha levoina, there's a double loisa say there. One is not allowed to place shemen oil on the minchas choyte, nor one is allowed to place levoina on it. And the Mishnah says chayev al hashemen b'fnei atzmoi v'al halevoina b'fnei atzmo. You chayev independently for putting shemen, for putting levoina. So Semes points out that the pasuk pshat of the Mishnah would appear to be that the meisa nesinas shemen on the mincha, the meisa nesinas levoina, the act of placing levoina on the mincha is an act that engenders the violation of the lois essay. However, he says that the Rambam is mavur not like that, because the Rambam says in Hilchos Ma'aser Karbonos that if you nosan and you hikriv your loika on the shemen b'fnei atzmoi and levoina b'fnei atzmoi, and the Rambam is meduyuk that the etzem placement of the shemen or levoina on the mechas choyte is not in itself the violation of the lois essay; it's the being makir of the mincha with shemen or levoina on it. So Hashem says that that's certainly not the simple reading of the Mishnah, and the Rambam really needs a bir to understand where he got that chiddush from. Zoktas Fasemes, perhaps one could say that the Rambam got this because by Levoina it seems unlikely, Misvora, that the placement of Levoina on a mincha is going to all by itself going to be a loisa, say, given the fact that, as the Gemara talks about, one can always remove the Levoina. Placing it is therefore an act that's just simply removable, but reversing it, just take it off. Consequently, the Svora perhaps is Nisenes that by Levoina it's only the Hakrova of the Levoina, of the mincha with Levoina on it, that would be the violation. And perhaps the Rambam understood that the lois hasei of the shemen and that of the Levoina are zugestelt, they're juxtaposed in the Chumash and the Torah, and therefore one would assume that the shemen is also in violation at the same point in time with Levoina as the violation takes place, which is to say, b'shasta hakrova. This is the Sfasemes. In the Ursa Meach, he also stelts on this Rambam and says the Rambam is a big chiddush, and kenege the pashtus, the simple reading of the sugya would appear to be that placing shemen or Levoina on the mencha is the lois hasei itself, according to the Rambam, not in violation until you do the Maisa HaKrova. So the Arsameach says that one can say that the Rambam is based on A, a Svara, and B, a Mokher in the Turas Kohanim. That's the Arsameach. So the Svara, as far as the Svara goes, Doctor, we find in the first Perek that Rav Shimon says, remember the name of Rav Shimon, that the Torah did not want that the Choyte should be able to bring a Korboni Mohudar, that his Korban should be beautified by having Shemen and Levoina. The Mincha of a Choyte ought to be not Mohudar. That idea, argues the Arsameach, logically ought to be applicable at the time of the Hakrova. The Hakrova is the time when the carbon is rotsui, when the carbon is effective, and at that moment one would examine whether the carbon is muhudr, and we would say the svara that Rav Shimon says that it's not desirable that the mincha of a choyte should be muhudr. So that's the first idea. There's a svara that tells us that the problem that the lois say ought to be applicable at the time of the Hakrova. But in fact, says the Ursa Meach, he says he wants to say that the Rambam has a source for his din in the Teres Kohanim, not in the Gemara, but in the Teres Kohanim, a remarkable Teres Kohanim that says that Yochel b'shnei Kohanim akotam adaber. Maybe this pasuk is talking about two Kohanim. It says lo yosam aleh Hashem v'leitin alavoyna, two Kohanim. Talmud loyimar, says the Teres Kohanim, aleho. Aleho, that word aleho, that's begufa shel mincha hakosa medaber, v'loi b'shnei kohenim. So, this pasuk is talking about the gufa shel mincha and not the two kohenim. So, the Sameh says this kohenim definitely needs a beer. What in the world is it saying? Granted, you know, there's two activities that are identified at the pasuk. So, we seem to have a havamina that there's two kohenim and the kamashmon is only one. What is the havamina? What's the maskana? The zokt er, the pshat in the teres kohenim is simple according to the Rambam. There was a havamina that the etzem act in itself of placing shemen or placing levoina on the mincha is the violation, and consequently, the Torah says loyosam aleha shemen. Let's say one kohen would put shemen on it. Loyidin le levoina. Let's say a separate kohen would put levoina on it. So we'd have two different acts done by two different kohanim, and each kohen would be in violation. So that was the havamin of the Torah's kohanim yochel b'shnei kohanim. Of them zok the Torah's kohanim no tamad loymer aleha. And that word aleha, what do we take out of the loyosam aleha shemen? Loyidin aleha levoina. That word aleha, that's gufa shel mincha akos medaber. In other words, what does it mean gufa shel mincha zokte? We're not discussing the act of placing the shemen on the korban mincha. We're not discussing the act of placing the levoina. No, we're talking about the intrinsic mincha itself, which is now relabeled. It's now a mincha with a shemen, a mincha with levoina, and then is not desirable to be offered as a korban that's korev on the mezbeach. The problem is not the act of placing. The problem is the gufa shel mincha aleho, the gufa shel mincha akos medaber. Now that it's a different type of mincha, it's one with shemen levoina, it can't be korev. And therefore, that's like the Teres Kohenim says, that's loy b'shnei Kohenim. Because now that I figured out that the problem is on the hakrova, so whichever Kohen does the hakrova, he is in violation of both, rather than saying that the two Kohenim with the two independent acts of placing the shemen and placing levoina, that they are each in violation. So at the Ersameach, that would be a beautiful mocker for the Shitas HaRambam, the way we're explaining and understanding the Teres Kohenim, that the gufa shemincha idea tells me that rather and look at this independent Kohen who put this on, who put that on, I'm looking at the one Kohen who does the hakrova of that transformed gufa shemincha, the one that has shemen levoina, and he's the sole person who is in violation. However, the Ersameach adds, and likewise, the Briskerov over here in the Chedushma as well make this point as also, that they both say that the Lashon of the Sefri in Parshas Nosoi, which also is talking about a Mechas Choyta, over there some of Mechas Choyta, and also the Mechas Choyta does not have Shemen or Levoina, the Pasuk talks, don't put Shemen, don't put Levoina, and the Lashon of the Sefri over there is actually Shver on the Rambam, and it's Mashma that it's actually the act of placing the Shemen or Levoina on the Mincha, that's the Isur. Because the Sefri over there says that, let's say, Zokti the Sefri, that the Pasuk by the Smichas Soita would only have mentioned the Isser to place Shemen, would not have mentioned this Isser to place Levoina. So I would have said, Zokti Sefri, Amris, Ala Shemen ye oiver, you're in violation for the Shemen, She'ein no yochel lachzu iloloikta, because it's impossible to take it away. Like the Gemara tells us, once you put Shemen in, it's inextricably in there and can't be removed. But Ala Levoina lo ye oiver, She'ein yochel lachzu iloloikta, perhaps I'm not in violation on the Levoina, because the act of placing is not such a chosh of a significant act, because I can always remove it, I can always take it away. So that's why you have to have the double Lashon in Parshas Nosa, with the Minchas Soita, Tamad Loim, Eliyosim, Eliyah Shemen, Ve'lo Yitin Le'o Levoina. It's telling you, in other words, that Magid, Shem Nosa, Eliyah Shemen, U Levoina, Ever Beloy Sasei. So it's Mavur in the Sefri that there was a Hava Amina that placing the Levoina on the Minchas Soita would not be a violation, because Levoina is reversible and could be removed. Zoktef them the Ersameach and the Briskerov, why was there such a Hava Amina according to the Dasa Rambam? Tainach, if I learn that the Isser is in the placement of the Levoina, then I understand the Havamina that a reversible act was placed, but it could be taken away, would not be a Lois Hasei. But if the Isser is in the Hakrova is not reversible. Once I do the Hakrova, it can't be reversed. So why was there a Havamina that there would be no violation on the Levoina if the Isser is, like the Rambam says, the act of being makriv with the Levoina? The very big kasha on the Rambam from the Sefri. The Ersameach says a doichek over there, it's difficult to fully grasp, that the Briskerov says that one could suggest, based on this Sefri, perhaps, a very big chiddush in the Das HaRambam. So that maybe the Rambam understood, to make it stim with the Sefri, that the Isur, the violation of Le'osim Le'Hashem, Le'itin Le'Levoina, is not a one-step Isur, but a two-step. In other words, it's the Tziruf, the combination of the fact that you placed the Shemen or the Levoina on it. And coupled with that, you subsequently went ahead and you were makrivit, where the two acts together, we would have the violation, have the Isur. And Melof, them, Zokta Sefri, that since the Maisen Asinas Levoina arguably is perhaps not going to be a violation, because it's reversible, so consequently I would not be able to have that step of the two-step process of the violation of the Lois Hasei by Levoina, and in Mela would end up without a Lois Hasei by the Levoina. So Briskerov is Mechadosh, a big Chiddush in the Das HaRambam, that the Isur is not perhaps, not just the Maisa HaKrova, but possibly, Zotah, maybe, it could be the Tziruf of the placing the Levoina on together with the HaKrova. The truth is that that is arguably, according to the Ersameach, maybe not going to work well within his system, because the Ersameach took out of the Teres Koyanim that the violator is the one Koyan as opposed to the two Koyanim. The truth is, the way he sets it up and the way we explain explained before, it's really clearly mashma that specifically to Maisa HaKrova, that's the violation, and that's why it's specifically to one Kohen. The one Kohen does not Krova, he's in violation. If it's going to be that it's going to be a combination of two steps, like the Brisker Rav suggests, you're going to end up with the first step of the Nesina could be done by separate Kohen, and like we said, one Kohen being nice in the Shemen and one being nice in Levina, and you really end up contrary to the Pashtus of the Torah's Kohenim, the way the Ursa Meach learns it, which is that it's the one Kohen, the one who does the Maisa HaKrova, he's the one that's in violation. The Ursa Meach and the Brisker Rav both go on to say that perhaps one could use this Rambam's Shita to explain a difficult Sefer HaChinuch. The Chinuch says, by the Isser of Loyosim Alei Hashem, Alit and Lehlevoina, that this Isser applies to Zichri Kahuna, applies to male Kohenim. And this is a very big Shverka, the Mechaz Chinuch has the Kasha on the Chinuch. Why does it only apply to Zichri Kahuna? In order to apply to anybody who does a Maisi Yitzhika, who pours the Shemin in, it doesn't have to be a Kohen who does the Yitzhika of the Shemin into a Mincha, so anybody who pours it in should be in violation. Why does the Chichanach say that it applies, it's a loy to say on Kohenim? Zoktav dem der Ursameach, the way the Rambam is learning will be very good, because it's not the act of placing the Shemin into the Mincha that's the violation, it's the act of Hakrova, and the Hakrova is done specifically by a Kohen, and the Kohen who does the Hakrova with Shemin on it is in violation, so the Chichanach is right, and it will be a violation specifically to a Kohen. The Brisker Rav notes this, but he adds that actually, in the Sefer HaChinuch itself, this could be a problem. Because when the Chinuch speaks about this Minchas Saita, the Lashon of the Chinuch that he says is that if it's Yotzak, the Kohen Aleh Hashem and his Loike, if the Kohen pours Shemen onto the Mincha, his Loike, and the simple sense, look, the Brisker Rav, is that it's not Mashma that the Chinuch learned like the Rambam. The Rambam says it's the act of being Makriv, with Shemen on it, which is the violation and generates the Malkus. Chinuch says pouring the Shemen on is the Malkus, and if the Chinuch is going to be arguing on the Rambam, and the act of pouring is the violation, it's going to be Shver again, why he applies that specifically to a Kohen. The Mishnah fears this and continues, that Nosan Shemen al Shioreho, Einoi Oive Beloifase. If the Kohen takes his portion, his chelek, the shirayim of the mincha, which he's going to eat, and he puts shemen onto that, there's no violation of a loisase, there's no problem, or no loisase, putting oil on the shirayim. The achroinim over here, Sfasemis and others, point out that it seems to be mashma bepshutoi, that there is some isur to place the Shem on the Shiraim. It's just that if you did, then you're not over beloy sase. It's a b'dievet galoshin. If you did put the Shemen on, you're not over on beloy sase. The Achronim ask, what is the source or the reason behind such an isur, if in fact there is no clear loy sase? And the Sfasemis is not sure about this point, and he suggests it might be derabonon, and he says it could be it's derabonon, maybe it's a midas derech eretz, he's okter, that the chelak hagavoya offered on the mizbeach, the koyimitz cannot have a shemen, so the chelak, the koyinim are going to put into what they eat, the chelak hakoyinim is going to have shemen, it's not brotzui, it's not desirable, maybe it's a derabonon, that's a Sfasemis. However, the Minchas of Rom actually brings down an interesting thing from the Ursameach. The Sameach asks a bit of a stira, because it says in the Torah's Kohanim that he quotes, Loyosim Aleha Shemen, Avol Somhu Al Shirayim, and the Lashon of the Torah's Kohanim is Mashma, you can't place the Shemen on the Mincha itself before the Koimetz, but you can, even the Chatchil apparently, place the Shemen on the Shirayim. Whereas in our Mishnah, it's Mashma that it's not Butul Chatchil. So if them Zot Torah Sameach, an interesting thing. He's talked there, but it could be there's a chiluk between the Shirayim of the Mincha before you are makdu the Koimetz, and before it's distributed amongst the Kohenim, or after the Kohen already got his Chaylak. Zokter, before you amakta the Koimetz, before it's distributed amongst the Kohenim, this Chalon at the Loshna Posik, Vachol Mincha Blulav Hashemen, Vachareva Lachol B'nei Aren Tia, Ishka Ochiv. The Loshna Posik is that a Mincha Chareva, a dry Mincha, does haste it, the Mincha Schoite, it doesn't have Shemen, that's Lachol B'nei Aren Tia, which means that even the Shirayim have to be Chareva. Chareva Lachol B'nei Aren Tia. The din of being Maktir, the Koimetz on the Zbeach, and the din, even on the Shirayim, a Shasak Torah, the Koimetz. That din is that it has to be on a chal, even on the shirayim, a shem chareva, in order that the pasuk speaks out that the chareva is distributed amongst the kohenim. However, after you already were marked to the koimetz and was chal already on the din that it could go to the kohen, but there we have a different halacha that, like the Gemara always tells us, that the kohenim allowed to prepare their chelak in whatever manner they like with shemen, with tavlin, because it says lemoshcha, and Chazal say lemoshcha tells us in the manner of gedula that they're allowed to eat the chelak hakohen of the kohenim in whatever manner they wish, and a meila zok. Therefore, after the Haktoras HaKemetz already takes place, when it's already ready to go to the Kayanim, at that point it's Chaladin of the Moshkan, and we mutter to place the Shemen. I mean, according to the Yosameach, it comes out that the Torah's Kayanim and the Mishnah both Shem, and it's all a Dion of a Deraisa. In other words, that they're both true. You could put the Shemen on the Chatzchelo after it's Roy to go a little bit poil to the Kayanim, after the Akhtar's Akhoimitz, and then it's Chaladin of the Moshkan, and you could put the oil on. However, before the Akhtar's Akhoimitz, before it's ready yet to go to the Kayanim, at that point it's Chala Halacha on it Vachol Mincha, Chareivo Lachol B'nai Arantia, and the Mincha itself has to be Chareivo, and not just the Koyimetz. The Menchot Avrom brings that one of the Gdolei Achroinim makes a similar distinction, the Rebbe Fall HaKoyen Hamburger in the Mechaber of the Shelos HaKoyenim Torah on Sugis and Kochim. So he makes this type of a chiluk over here between before the Akhtaras HaKoyimetz and after, and he said it's actually Mashman the Rambam like that. The Rambam says, Nosan Shemen al Shioreho Achar Shekomatz Einoi Loike, etc., because the Koyimetz is Kosher, v'cholu. So the Lashon HaRambam is actually very strange. You put Shemen the Shirayim, Achash HaKomatz. I mean, obviously it's Achash HaKomatz. There wouldn't be any Shirayim if the Kemitzah has not yet taken place. So what's this Lashon HaRambam? You put the Shemen the Shirayim, Achash HaKomatz. Zok der befall HaKoyen Hamburger, that perhaps the Pshat in the Rambam is, we're talking right after the Kemitzah. So haste, the Rambam is talking about Koyim the Haktoras HaKoyimetz. And Imamish makes this type of a chiluk, der befall Hamburger. He says, if you're talking right after the Kemitzah, there is in fact a din that the Mincha should stay devoid of Shemen, afilu the Chelak HaShirayim should be devoid of Shemen, and in Meila you're in fact over on the Din L'chatchila if you put the Shemen on. The Rambam is just saying over there, Nothing Shirayim Achash HaKomatz Loi Pasla, Eino Loike V'Loi Pasla, there's no Malkus, and you didn't Pasla the Korban. There's no Malkus, you didn't Pasla, but a Kofan, there is an Isser. That's what Rambam stresses, the Lashon of Achash HaKomatz, because if you're talking that it's not just right after the Kmitza, but the Akhtoras HaKomatz has already taken place, then in fact we wouldn't just use a B'Dievet the Galoshin, they would be Mutal L'chatchila once the Kohen is ready to get it, and it's Chalak. We said before from the Ur Sameh, Chal Din of Lamashcha is mutter to place the oil, the shemen, on the mencha.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Maram HaKlemis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.